You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The FBI's investigation of sexual assault allegations laid against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh has begun and will continue until the end of this week. I spoke to political commentator Tracy Barnett about the importance of paying attention to attacks that take place during people's high school experiences. In this story, we do not detail assault, but we do bring into a question the rhetoric of victim blaming. So as a warning to anyone who may find that language distressing, it is explicitly referenced at one point.
What we have is Dr. Blasey Ford has described an attempted rape and definitely sexual assault. There's a second person who's come forward, Deborah Ramirez, who says that Judge Kavanaugh allegedly exposed himself to her. And now there's a third complainant coming forward as well. So we have three complaints of sexual assault. But what's really fascinating is that this is truly one of the most fascinating bouts of political theater I have ever seen. And the only problem with this grand drama is that it has huge ramifications that extend far beyond this hearing. These ramifications are for the Me Too movement, for national acknowledgement of what's been happening to women now for generations, of course. This is involving the highest institutions of American government, and this is truly rocking the system of checks and balances that form the foundation of the American political system. So really, in fact, it's one perfect storm, and it's converging on the anger of the Me Too movement, the bitter partisanship that's now running amok in American government, and really the fragility of our checks and balances system and what that's going to mean for the future of jurisprudence in America. It was incredible to watch Dr. Blasey Ford. She came in, she said in the first line of her testimony that she was terrified. She was almost demure. She was definitely cooperative. And I think everybody can agree on both sides of the aisle, political persuasion on this one, that she offered a compelling and convincing telling of her story.
Yeah.
So much so that Republicans said that they believed her and have said so. They just believe that she has the wrong man in her account. But what happened after that is absolutely pivotal. Enter Judge Kavanaugh. The tone couldn't have been more different. He stated clearly, angrily, repeatedly, look, I am the victim here. He was belligerent. He was openly emotional, often crying repeatedly. And most disturbingly, when he was questioned about the smallest details of things like his high school yearbook and things he had written in it, he referred it to obscuring, if not downright questionable, lies in his answers. And here's some examples. One senator asked him, what does it mean by referring to a devil's triangle, which is a sexual threesome between two men and a woman? And he said that it was a drinking game. He referred to being a Renata alumni. He and other friends had referred to that in his yearbooks. And he said that that didn't refer to having sexual conquests with this woman, but it just showed that she was one of us. He was asked about the phrase boofed, a term that refers to anal sex. And he said, hey, we were 16, it refers to flatulence. There's a term that was called FFFF, 4th of July. And he said that it didn't refer to what your listeners, forgive me, this might be triggering to some listeners who might be listening in who have experienced sexual assault. It was referring to find them, French them, finger them. You can imagine what the next F is, and then forget them. Right. And he said, in fact, he explained it as this was stuttering before a word that a friend used to use before he used the F word. We saw also when a female senator asked if he ever blacked out from drinking, he replied, have you? And then later after a break, and obviously after advice from counsel, he came back and he apologized to her. But what was really disturbing was that he referred to this as a revenge from the Clintons. And what we saw was a man who didn't comport in the way that we have always saw our Supreme Court justices to be, boring, neutral, or give a semblance of stability and neutrality. Here was a man who looked like he had a political grudge on his shoulder, and he was going to wear it in front of the entire nation, and he didn't stop.
Yeah.
Lindsey Graham entered in, and in spluttering, in a fit of rage, he pointed at the rest of the committee and said, this man has nothing to apologize for. I hope the American people can see through this sham. And if you vote no, you're legitimizing the most despicable thing I've ever seen in my time in politics. Suddenly, all the other senators who had been silent up until this time came toward Judge Kavanaugh's defense and piled on with their indignation as well.
Mm. And it's scary because we have to remind ourselves that this is someone's trauma being dismissed carelessly.
Absolutely. And I think what happened is it weighed heavily, even on some of the Republicans on the committee. And so the drama keeps going.
Yeah.
There's one Republican senator, a guy named Jeff Flake. He does not have to face, he's retiring, so he doesn't have to face a voting public again. And he was really troubled by what he heard, so much so that senators started to physically even surround him, literally arguing that he should vote yes on Kavanaugh's nomination. And reluctantly, badgered, he finally agreed. And just as he left the committee room and he was going up to an elevator, there were female protesters in the hallway, and they literally stuck their hand in the door of the elevator so it wouldn't close. And one of them began to cry, and she said, "No one believed me. No one believed my assault. If you approve this man, you're telling me that my assault, my life doesn't matter. Senator, look at me." And she was openly crying. "Tell me if it doesn't matter that you would let people like that go to the highest court in the land." He got back into the committee room and walked from his side of the aisle, tapped the shoulder of a Democratic senator, Jeff Koons. He said, "Look, this is tearing our country apart." And together they came up with this small compromise of sorts, and it's where we are now. Delay this hearing for 1 week and just allow an FBI investigation.
Yeah.
And that's where we are right now.
Referring back to the kind of language that we heard during the hearing, it's why it's so significant that women like Dr. Ford are pressing charges, particularly in cases where the attack occurred in the past, because it shows that nothing is excusable anymore. And I think that for young people, this particular case is pretty momentous because, you know, the Me Too movement has focused on the workplace a lot, but we have a new problem in our high schools because rape culture is more insidious in new ways in environments like high school. So do you agree that initiating a focus on school culture is a necessary component of Me Too? And do you think that this case is sort of a step in that direction?
I think this case will be groundbreaking for generations to come, not just in the U.S., but in other places like New Zealand. Because we always thought that what we did in high school, what we did in our past, was in our past.
Mm-hmm.
And this is showing that you are a moral being from a very young age,
yeah.
And you are accountable to that.
Yeah.
And anybody who's listening to this, who's going to be drinking this weekend with friends at university, or are in high school, or in the workplace, what you do matters at every point of your life. And you must be held accountable. Can you be forgiven? Yes. Can you start over? Yes. But you must own what you have done before that forgiveness can ever begin. So I guess if there's a lesson here, the lesson is that your actions follow you. So the Me Too movement has much to thank for Dr. Ford. The fact that these senators had to listen, the fact that they were too afraid to question them, is a positive outcome of where the Me Too movement has gone to say we must be heard. But also there is something else to be said here for if you have done things that you are sorry about. There is a way to say that you will change, and there is a way forward to say that you can do better.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.